Hello, listeners. Welcome to our summer series spectacular. If you're fans of any of these podcasts, then you know we've been releasing some special episodes over on our Patreon. And unfortunately, we have not gotten the response that we had hoped. So we have discontinued our Patreons for now, but would like these episodes to be enjoyed by a larger audience. I want to start by apologizing to the people who did pay a few dollars to get these exclusive episodes when they were exclusive. Your generosity and support is still very appreciated, and hopefully in the future we will offer some more exclusive episodes over there and see if we can't get a few more supporters to join you over on that special feed. But until then, we're going to be releasing these special episodes right here, right now, and all summer long. On the Time Pop feed, we have some what we call time travel-ish movies. Things that are kind of, you know, maybe time-altering, mind-bending, reality-fuckery kinds of movies that I think you will enjoy on this main feed, even if they don't fall directly into our time travel purview. I may or may not have used that word properly. Whatever. For our Thank the Light audience, because there's only so much Wheel of Time content out there. Over there on the Patreon, we were experimenting with some other fantasy movies. So hopefully you're just a fan of Justin, Jeremy, and Desmond talking about stuff. So we're going to have some fantasy film discussions on the Thank the Light feed. And on the Movies R Us feed, apologies. We're going to take a little bit of a break from official Movies R Us releases just because we got really busy. You know, we knew this summer was going to be a little bit busy. We were doing our best to get caught up. And Desmond is moving. Justin is probably going to be moving. And Jeremy doesn't want to do the podcast by himself. So we're going to, again, hopefully you're just fans of us and what we talk about. And even if it is not an official toy-related product, hopefully you will enjoy us talking about some fantasy movies over there as well, just because our voices are beautiful. I hope you enjoy these special episodes. If you're only subscribing to Time Pop, why don't you subscribe to Movies R Us and or Thank the Light so you can get some other exclusive movie content. If you just like to hear us talking about films, it's going to be a great summer. We will definitely be back with new content. We have some very exciting things we're going to put into motion for Thank the Light. Movies R Us is just going to be back in full effect later this summer. We're liking what we're doing over there. We have a lot of fun movies to talk about. And if you're a Time Pop fan and you like listening to Scott and I just talk about weird, mind-bending movies, let us know at timepoppod@gmail.com. That is timepoppod@gmail.com. If you're enjoying this, us expanding our definition of Time Pop movies, and we may put more of these types of movies on this feed in the future. If you're a Movies R Us fan, just let us know when we get back to our official Movies R Us. Let us know some movies you want us to move to the top of our list. That is moviesruspod@gmail.com. That is moviesruspod@gmail.com. And if you're a Thank the Light fan, Wheel of Time fan, as you know, the show is getting put off. So we're trying to figure out the best way to discuss the books. Again, we've got some exciting things that we're going to do there to try to hype up those book discussions as we wait for more Wheel of Time episodes to get back to Amazon Prime. And if you enjoy listening to us talk about fantasy movies, maybe we can squeeze one of these in here and there just to spice it up as we wait for Rafe Judikins to get those episodes out to us. And whatever feed you're listening to, send us a message. Let us know what you like, what you don't like, because these shows are nothing without you. So if, you know, we're not going to listen to all your suggestions, but if you want to sheepdog us in a direction that makes us more fun to listen to and maybe bring more people into the fold, we would love to hear from you. ThankTheLight@gmail.com, TimePopPod@gmail.com, MoviesRUsPod@gmail.com. That is movies, the letter R, us, pod@gmail.com. Enjoy. Holy shit! And that's how you start a podcast, folks! Welcome, Patreons! I mean, loyal, amazing, wonderful, quiet Patreons. We have the quietest audience ever. They're definitely better than the average Time Pop fan. I'll say it. You got Time Pop fans, and then you got way above them are Time Pop Patreon fans.
There's like humans, there's like Mother Teresa, and then there's Patreon fans.
That's exactly, it's so funny you took the words right out of my mouth. I'm like, I don't think they're better than Mother Teresa.
But they're up there. They're up there.
They're hanging out. You can see them, you know, like you can peek through the curtain and see Mother Teresa in the background. But
we're going to say like Mother Teresa and Nelson Mandela are like tippy top. Maybe the Patreons are better than like the people at the food lines. We're still really good people.
Oh, anybody who sneezes at a buffet, way worse than Patreons.
I think we're going backwards on this one. Thank you again for supporting our art.
And yes, and like I said, you guys are wonderful, but you're quiet. Get out there. Be loud. Tell everyone there's some fun stuff to listen to. You know, I know some people are just like, well, why would I buy the cow if I get the milk for free? It's like, because we got chocolate milk over here, people. Do you want the chocolate stuff?
Are we a cow?
Absolutely.
All right. We got lots of udders. Wait, our metaphors are not working today. It's not working.
Speaking of metaphors, what? We'll talk about what movie we're talking about here in a minute, but right now we're just going to talk about the movie. What's with the imagery at the beginning with the clock and the lion and the creepy medallion?
Yeah, they're trying. It's actually, although it comes off the film we are doing, it's Run Lola Run. Although it seems like a 90s techno German, like fun, good time. Like there's some deep thought behind it, right? About like free will and your role. Obviously the butterfly effect comes up in this, but it seems like at the beginning, they're just trying to cover everything. They're like, we ask the questions. Why? Time is not real. We ask questions just to find more questions.
You know what?
It's just like,
don't make a quote at the beginning of your movie about a 90 minute game. If your movie's only 81 minutes.
You must have been so happy.
Oh my God.
You must have been so happy.
This is going to.
Can you legally do a feature at an hour and 20? That's incredible.
This is going to break our rating system. Like I'm going to rate this on some clock scale that's never been invented. Cause this just shattered the 12 hour
20 minutes. Why not? You don't need to force extra content just to get your point across. I'm with it. I'm with it.
Every minute under 90 minutes gets you an extra point in my rating system.
Can you imagine if this film was handled to like a Marvel exec?
Oh my God.
Like an hour and 20 minutes. Great. Now shoot the other half.
So what we're going to do, we're going to do three movies. Each movie is going to be a version of Run Lola Run.
Oh, I get it. This is like a preview. This is a trailer. Each one of these it's a trilogy. It's clearly a trilogy.
One of them's going to be animated. Two of them are going to be live action. And the third one is going to be claymation.
Agreed. Sold.
The third one. And then there's the fourth one where all the timelines combine. You realize that she's actually running past herself all the time.
You're deep.
Whoa.
Had you seen this movie before?
We are talking about Run Lola Run, released in 1998. 1 hour and 20 minutes. Rated R, I guess. It's a very soft R. I mean, I guess they dropped an F-bomb. There's no, whatever. Starring
Frankie Potente.
Hold
it's
on.
Like I took Italian. I say everything like it's Italian. But
Kelly went to Google to pronounce this name, and I must have heard it 50 times last night, and now I can't remember. Franca Potenta.
That's better.
Franca Potenta. Hey, Google, how do you say Franca Potenta?
Please log in through the Google Home app.
And she crossed over, right? She's in like Born, one of the first Born movie, I think. She's
in a couple. Yeah.
She made through to American films. Good on ya.
And the gentleman was in a couple thing. Does he just have one of those faces?
He looks like, what's the guy, Johnny, the guy from Trainspotting that popped up in a million other things. He looks like him. I mean, in the 90s, let's face it, in the 90s, we all kind of grew our beards and had bleached blonde hair and wore baggy pants. We all looked the same.
We all did. You're right, though. It is the guy. I was like, am I being racist by saying that's just the guy from Trainspotting? But that was the guy.
You're countryist. You're nationist, whatever. You're a continentist.
So I saw this. I It was weird. When I realized it was 1998, I realized that I could not have seen it when I thought I saw it. Like, there's the late 90s, I lived in 12 different places. And I have a lot of memories of different movies in different living rooms. And I thought I watched this movie in one living room, and I didn't. So I don't know what living experience I was in when I watched this movie. But I haven't watched it since then. Like, I probably watched it when it came out on video in 99.
Yeah.
And it's just one of those movies where you're like, oh, that's cool, I get it, you know, and never felt the need to revisit it. And I'm really glad I have, especially under, and it plays way, way better. I knew that, like, we'd be able to cram this into our Patreon feed one way or the other.
Yeah.
But this played way better than I expected for kind of a time.
Yeah. And like a lot of our Patreon films that we do, you know, obviously the concept for this is otherworldly alternate experiences, but a lot of these films, this is arguably time travel. Arguably.
Arguably. It's at least a time loop.
Well, right. So, I mean,
arguably,
the point that I read up on it a little bit, and they make the point that, like, she doesn't know in the first incarnation, she doesn't know how to use a gun with the safety, and the second one, she remembers that, right?
Yeah.
And there was something else that, like, seems like it crossed over memory-wise, and almost like alternate universes blending or time loop. Yeah, whatever. But anyway, it's debatable. It's good to have debates. Yeah, I saw this. I know where I saw this, because I was my final year of college at film school, and man, what a great time to go to film school. The years of independent film, you know, heralded by the Tarantinos that crossed over, and the Sling Blades, and the Smoke, and the just Train Spotting, and so many independent films in that time. So I definitely saw this at my local art house in Buffalo. I remember it blowing my fucking mind. Actually, I have the reverse from you.
Really?
Now I'm looking at it. At the time, this is, well, one, it's like very 90s, and like, yeah, I love the techno and the style, and it's like a very different sort of film. So I loved it at the time. And now the conversation it starts is not that revolutionary.
Yeah.
At the time, I was like, they're seeing like how if just time changed by like seconds, how these three different timelines formed. That was a big deal in 98. Now this is like, eh. So like it's...
Why are there not 100 copycats? How do we not have...
Yeah, because this did well. This did well.
Seth run Seth and Chad run Chad and Monkey run Monkey. Like...
Yeah.
This is one of those movies that's... I mean, I guess people did. I guess in loop movies, they kind of, you know, take from this. I think that's what it is, too, is this doesn't answer fucking anything. And in movies that came after it, they're like, but why?
It doesn't answer, but I love, and I think you do, too. Like, we love, like, the butterfly effect things, you know, when movies examine that. And in this movie, obviously, there's the three different timelines, and they're all showing if she was just a second or a few different, how things would be drastically different. But she passes people in the street. My favorite part is once she passes them, they do these snapshots to show like what their path is from that point on. And they're like totally different. This one woman that she passes, like, it either like she either joins like the church, or she like gets arrested and commits suicide, or like it's totally based upon like the second. And like, you know, I'm a sucker for that. I love how these small nuances go down totally different pathways. So it doesn't answer questions, but that's pretty cool.
These are pretty major life altering situations, but this happens every morning on the freeway. Someone's 10 minutes late. They cut you off. You go into work. You tell your secretary to go fuck herself because you're still
pissed. She goes home. She breaks up with her boyfriend. He goes back to drinking. His mom's upset. She has a heart attack because he's drinking. Her book club stops.
The next day, instead you're 20 seconds early. So you politely let that person in. They show up to work in a good mood.
Yeah.
They get an extra coffee for their secretary, and she goes home.
It spreads like COVID.
and then he breaks up with her because he realizes he doesn't actually love, and it all ends the same. We all just end dead.
Wow, we're getting way too deep.
So and Kel, I think I may have come, I may have eventually got here anyways, but Kelly really was like, these are terrible people.
Oh yeah, it's really, that's interesting too. I like, everyone's terrible.
Yeah.
So we don't know that much about her. We just know she's dating a guy who's kind of like a drug. It's funny, you watch that now and you're like, my first instinct is like, oh, you're with like a deadbeat and you should move on. But like, this is the 98 where like we all thought that was really cool to highlight people that are, that's just a cool guy who like deals with crime, right? Like a Tarantino film. Like, we don't judge them, they're the protagonist.
And if someone was going to pay you 10 grand to carry some drugs from here to there, you'd be like, fuck yeah.
Right. Yeah. But so you, but you know, on some level, it's like, well, why is she with him? And then like you start seeing everyone around her, and we're assumingly the mother is ready to cheat on the husband. The husband has a mistress, but then the mistress had cheated on him. And all this comes out in different times and different, you know, if should there be any more time. And then, and he's not even the father and he doesn't care about her. Wow. There's a lot dropped. A lot of, it's quite a soap opera.
Well, I think what threw me off and like made me misremember this movie a little bit is they're supposed to be a much younger than they are. When I remember this movie, I'm like, oh, two 23-year-olds who just got an apartment together and are having trouble making rent. And the boyfriend went out and did some weird shit to try to make some money. But no, they're just kids. They're 18-year-olds who graduated 2 months ago and are just living at home and
in their world,
just being dumb.
Yeah.
It's like, you know what? Just get a job, get a paycheck.
Look how old we sound.
You'll be. Oh, I know. Jesus Christ.
Get a job, get a paycheck.
Get a job.
So the movie essentially like, the phone drops. She's going to help the boyfriend. And I think the dog is the first thing in the hallway, right? Like, is she either jumps over the dog or past the dog or gets tripped by the guy
first,
with the dog?
No, she just kind of runs by him. The dog kind of looks at her. The guy doesn't trip her. This is our median time.
Yeah.
This is our middle timeline. This is where,
yeah,
you know.
She's running. She's trying to help him out. She figures, where can I get the money? She says, don't rob the bank. He's like, I got to rob a bank because I need to get the drug dealer money because I lost
the money.
It's
not a bank. It's a grocery store.
Oh, yeah. It's a grocery store. Because they have 100,000 marks. So she's like, just wait. I'll think of something. Wait till like 12 or whatever. And then it's her running. And she thinks, oh, I'll get it for my dad.
Yeah.
Who works at a bank. So she goes to the dad. And right before she goes in, you could see he's talking to the woman he's having an affair with.
I don't know why they decided to film their affair on a flipbook. Like, I guess to make it look dirtier and more tawdry. Like,
yeah.
whatever crank camera they used to film her dad discussing his affair was hilarious. That was something too that I misremembered, that she goes to dad every time.
Yeah.
I assumed that the three differences were, I'll go to dad.
I'm with you.
And then, oh no, I'll go to my boss, or oh no, I'll go to my sister, or something like that. But the fact that the whole point is to get to dad, get the money, and get to.
Yeah, I remembered it like you did. I thought it was two totally different three, but it's really just the difference of a few seconds. And the first time she leaves her house, the mom is just talking like about like some psychic crap. You find out more about that conversation in the later one.
So is she talking to her dad?
No.
The
mom is talking to a potential lover.
But she says a Sagittarian, just, I should have known that this Sagittarian was yours or something. She says something to the effect.
Yeah, but then she said to later on, she goes, yeah, but we're both married, or I know we're both married. Like, so I think the mom, if she's not having an affair.
Lola's not her dad's daughter, right? We find that out. So.
But they're still together. But she didn't, at the time, they're still together. She didn't know that.
So mom could still be having an affair with the guy she had an affair with 20 years ago.
Yeah.
It's.
That could be her dad.
Yeah.
Oh, her natural dad. That's what you're saying.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, it could be. Absolutely. Anyway, so she goes to the bank. Yeah, they just got in the middle. I think the mistress just said that she's pregnant. And does he want to have the baby with her? And he pauses and he says yes. But they have to figure this out. And then Lola runs in and she's like, I have a problem. I need help. Can you give me $100,000 to bail out my boyfriend? And eventually he's like, yeah, I'll help you. And he starts.
No, the first thing he says is, who?
Yeah. She's like, I've been dating him a year. And he's like, you know, she's causing a ruckus. He like wraps his arm around her. He's like, sure, of course I'll help. And he's walking her down. And he's like, by the way, I'm leaving you and your mother. I'm being with this other woman. I'm going to have a kid with her because she loves me. And I'm never going to see both of you again. Also, you're not my real daughter. Bye-bye. And throws her out the front. And then I think she runs to her boyfriend a little bit late, and he's already like robbing the supermarket, right? And then she hops in to help him because like he's kind of, someone's got like a gun on him, and so she helps out with the robbery. They get outside, they are surrounded by cops.
She steals the gun from the security guard, and this is where she learns how to take the safety off, because she's like, what am I doing? And her boyfriend goes, click the little slide on the left, and she almost shoots a security guard in the face.
Yep.
And then, yeah, so they run off, they get surrounded by cops, the boyfriend throws the money. I think that's just for visual effect. I don't know what the, I mean.
Yeah.
And then someone just, oops, shoots her. Like, it's, like, I thought for sure that it was going to be like, you know, they took the boyfriend throwing the money as an act of aggression and pulled the trigger, but this guy just, oops, kills Lola.
Yeah.
And then we get the first of the two most annoying scenes.
Oh, yeah.
In this movie. The first one is her.
So she dies, and then it cuts to them. It rewinds time. They're in bed.
We've all been in this situation, people, where we just want to sleep, and the love of our life wants to go deep.
Talk about some nonsense that's bothering their brain.
Talk about what solve their existential crisis when you're just ready to sleep. So this is her turn to ask him a bunch of questions while he's just kind of trying to relax and have some pillow talk. And
so, yeah, I forgot what she was like. Do you love me? Or like, was that what it kind of was?
What would you do without me?
What would you do? Yeah,
you would. Or is that what he asks?
That's what he would do. What would you do if I died?
Okay. And she does. Oh, she's asking about love. Do you love me? How do you know you love me? Do you always listen to your heart?
Yeah.
I'm going to make it as complicated as possible for you to admit that you enjoy my company. And then we go again. Oh, let me see. Let me double check my notes here just to see. The cartoon was interesting. That was just, I don't know. I haven't looked up at the director at all, but he must have some animation background because there was no need for it, but it was still super cool.
I love it. It reminds me of Better Off Dead.
Absolutely. And
so they're having their philosophical conversation, and then it just cuts to like this going again, except this time she's tripped by the guy with the dog and it forces her to have a limp.
Oh, so the reason why we're doing all this is because the boyfriend left the bag of money on a subway and a homeless person has it. And the boyfriend is pretty sure he knows who has it because he saw him on there. And, you know, of course, he's going to be the one that goes through the bag. So he's hoping upon hope that he can run in. And Lola keeps running by this man on the corner.
Yeah.
She runs right by the bag of money, bumps into him once, runs by him again. So, yeah. So now we start. So the first time, the animated version, she just makes a nice, perfect run past the dog and the guy. This time, the guy trips her like a dick. No reason whatsoever. Just, you know, different timeline, different choice, different outcomes. So this, A, gives her a 10-second slow start and gives her a little bit of a limp, which doesn't stick around, thankfully. We don't have to watch her gimp around the city all day. She sorts out that Charlie horse.
Yeah, it slows her down, though.
But yeah, so now she's behind the timeline. I'm looking up. The reason I was kind of fading out there a second when you were talking is there's a copy of Paradise Lost in the phone booth that's obviously pointing at the camera like, we're saying something, right? And I don't know anything about Paradise Lost, so I was kind of trying to see what it talks about. A bunch of revisions. What little bit I've looked at Wikipedia, they don't know when the first version of Paradise Lost was written, but it's been so. I'm guessing if you got 10 different copies of Paradise Lost, all published hundreds of years apart, that there would be weird little changes for possibly no reason whatsoever. Mm. So that's my guess grenade that I'm just going to lob out into the world.
Ooh, get at guess me. Grenades.
Timepoppod@gmail.com with your Paradise Lost Run Lola Run theories.
All right. So in this one, by the way, she changes all these people's lives. Like there's an old lady in the street. There's that guy on a bike that she has different interactions with and his life changes, right? There's like three people, I think.
So we have the woman who's pushing the baby, who I think kidnaps that baby.
In one timeline she loses a baby and steals another one.
Yeah, and then the second timeline she wins the lotto, and then the third timeline she finds religion,
right?
Which are the nuns. We see the nuns, and the nuns kind of are here and there. It's weird. The nuns, I think what the woman by the phone booth is a nun once, and then the
she's kind of a wise blind person.
Yeah. She ends up being the kind of the crux of the whole thing. And then there's the guy on the bike who's our soccer player. The first one, he gets punched and then married. And in the second one, he turns into a junkie and overdoses.
Very dramatic differences.
And then in the third one, he's an integral part of the story. So we don't see his.
So in this timeline, because of her limp, she arrives later with the mistress. After he says he wants to have the baby with her, she says, even if it's not yours. And so he's bummed out.
There's one of the other major cruxes of each one of these three timelines. is there's a guy pulling out of a parking garage that she runs past. And
oh, yeah.
The first time he T-bones, or he doesn't T-bone. He pulls out and then this car hits him.
And it's the drug dealers. It's like the boss. It's the bosses.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Yeah.
And then in the second one, she slows him down a little bit, but he still catches the back end of their car. And we'll get to him in the third version because he's a big deal.
Yeah. And I guess when she walks in on them, it's a little more obvious of what's going on. So she kind of knows her dad's having an affair and she's pretty bummed out by that in that moment. and the dad's a dick to her. And he also just had all this bad news. And so she ends up stealing the gun from the security guard and like holding her dad hostage to steal the money from her dad's bank.
And I just want you guys all to know that this is a shared universe with Star Wars. because if you shoot a keypad, the door will open.
That's movie. Can we teach a class called Movie Science 101? It's like, if you have armor for a big military, that won't stop any blast from getting anyone anywhere. And bad guy bullets don't hit. Yeah.
If the door's open, you want it closed? Shoot the panel. If the door's closed and you want it open, shoot the panel.
Movie science.
Yes.
So in this reality, she gets the money eventually. She runs out and there's all these cops there and she thinks she's done for, but they assume she's just like a female girl. They're like, hey, you're going to get in trouble. There's a major scary guy in there that's holding the bank hostage. So she runs out with the money and she gets to her boyfriend and everything's happy for a moment. And then he gets run over by an ambulance and dies.
By the ambulance.
The ambulance. The one that like in each timeline, it almost hits glass. Or it doesn't hit the glass, or it breaks through the glass.
Or it does get the glass.
And at one timeline, she goes in the ambulance. Yeah.
Yeah. So now we have the opposite version. Now he is asking Lola all the. So now he's.
Oh, yeah. So he died. Now they're in bed.
Yeah. So now he's the dying one asking all the existential questions.
Yeah. Like, what would you do if I died? He's like, you just move on. She's like, what a dumb question. And
so, oh, real quick, just to back up a little bit. They obviously only had black and white cameras in the bank, right?
Oh, yeah. Clearly. This girl with red hair comes down. They're just like, no, it's not you.
It's definitely not you, whoever you are.
There's cameras everywhere. No, there's a dangerous guy in there.
Exactly. So this time, so we go again. This time she leaps past the dog and the man, flies down the stairs and gets a 10-second head start on our original timeline.
Right. And then this time his father's colleague, the guy in the car, almost hits her or sort of a little bit. And they just,
he pulls out a little bit farther. She basically just kind of jumps on the hood, kind of slams herself on the hood. And he says, Lola. And she says, Mr. Myers. And then the toughs drive right by. And you could have spent 9 more minutes, you know, solving this part and you wouldn't have upset me at all. How does the homeless man with the money get so out of place?
You mean that Berlin's like a big city? Because you see him.
We see everybody at the exact same place.
He gets the bus. Oh, right. The homeless guy ends up meeting the soccer shirt guy at a food stand.
Yes.
And the soccer guy sees his money and sells him his bike.
But so generally she runs by the footballer and then soon she runs past the footballer, jumps past Mr. Meyer's car, and then runs past the homeless guy.
Okay.
So.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Do we ever see the footballer and the homeless guy cross paths before that third timeline? Like, why is he so.
Because something didn't happen to the bike riding, the soccer guy. Other things stopped him from getting to that point. I forget what the homeless guy came in and the other stuff.
He's just at the corner. He's just walking. He's walking later. I guess we never saw an overhead view. So to me, he was like a half a mile away from he normally was. And there's no way, if the whole subway timeline is the same, that he's halfway across town bumping into football bicycle guy.
Yeah, who knows how far away it is.
But it's possible. It's just one of those little details. Like, this movie was really good at the little details. And that was one where they're just like, yeah, we're just going to put him over here this time.
So in this one, because she didn't stop her dad's colleague, he gets there earlier and things do not progress nearly as much with the mistress, and he's not there for when the daughter gets there. he goes out to a lunch or whatever with the colleague. So she shows up there. He's not there. The mistress hasn't revealed the info. By the way, in this timeline, we hear more from the mom at the beginning about, like, you're married too. So she's kind of having an affair. You know, we figure that out. Anyway, so Lola's aimlessly wandering around, and then she sees a casino. And so she goes in the casino. It's weird how they're suggesting, like, trouble at the casino when they have no... Is it because the way she's dressed, I guess?
Yeah. I don't know why this is a three-piece suit-only casino.
Maybe it is, but they let her in anyway. But they're all looking at her weird. And she bets. She takes all the money she has, bets it on roulette on 20.
Well, she even gets a gift, too. She's got $98 or something or whatever.
She needs 100, and the woman just gives it to her because that happens.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so it lands. So she gets $3,500.
Well, this woman doesn't even have a nice dress on, so there's no telling what she'll do, Scott.
But the place is, they're ready to kick her out all of a sudden. Like, they think she's cheating because she won once. Like,
she's...
It's just the outfit.
It's the outfit. They're just like, she's not fancy, so she's obviously here...
And then she's like, just let me do one more.
Yeah.
And then we forgot to mention that she has a supernatural scream, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Throughout this, she screamed at different points. And whenever she screams, it breaks glass. It's like she's like a siren.
Yeah, that's...
So when the roulette goes, she bets it on 20 a second time. She screams and we're to assume it kind of helps the ball fall the right way.
Yeah, because, yeah, she does...
A little bit of surrealism.
She does it. When does she? She does it at the beginning. Oh, when she first starts, when she's just like.
With the dad once too, right?
Full of anxiety. She screams in her room.
Yeah.
Breaks some stuff. And then she screams once. So I guess she does scream at every timeline. She screams at the very beginning of the first one, kind of in the middle at her dad in the second one. And then towards the end in the casino in the third one. And yeah, so she puts it on. So my math came out a little bit different than Wikipedia's. So. Where is it? I thought she walked away with $122,500. Wikipedia says $129,600. So,
okay.
You know, if she puts down 100 and gets 3,500, I just use that math to multiply again. She puts the money on the same number two times in a row, which is definitely suspicious. That might be why they're like, that's
yeah. And in the Wikipedia, they're like, the film touches on free will versus determinism. You know, like,
yeah,
her ability to defy the laws of chance through her will, you know, whatever you want to make about that. Oh, determinism versus philosophic libertarianism versus epistemology.
Wow.
Getting deep. Anyway, she gets the money. She gets out of there.
So while this is happening, Manny. So in every timeline, he borrows someone's phone card to make a call. And then in the first two timelines, he offers it back to this blind woman. And she says, like, or does she take it in the second one? I don't know. In one of them, she says,
yeah,
you keep it.
Right.
One of them, she might have said keep it in the second one, or she might have taken it back. Now in the third one, she just kind of freezes and does that magical blind woman thing
and gives him advice, right? Or has him look at something.
She's just kind of like holding him there,
yeah,
like, you know, giving him her shining. She's shining, I think, is what's
going on. God of time.
She's shining. And then that's when he looks over and sees the homeless man on the bike with the bag.
Oh, that's what she points out. Yeah,
she doesn't even point it. I don't even think she points it out. I think she just kind of holds his attention in a way that makes him know something's going on. And he's kind of like, what the fuck? Oh, there he is. Or something like
that. It says, like, in Wikipedia, she sees a security guard again. We haven't mentioned it, but the security guard's got this low-level skeeviness where he's like kind of hitting on her in a gross old man way. And in this one, he says, finally, you finally came, which they're suggesting maybe he remembered her from the other two timelines.
Because he's also the guy who opens the movie.
Oh.
He gives a speech about...
So in this... In this third timeline, she ends up seeing the red ambulance. She like hitches a ride on it to get faster, and she goes inside, and there's someone. Are we supposed to know who that is that's like dying in there? Did you pick up on anything? Is that anyone that I was watching? Like, are we supposed to know him? I couldn't tell. I don't think so. But I'll bet on some level it ties into something, to someone in there.
Kelly, I can't believe I didn't write it down.
Do you know who that was?
Yeah, who? Yeah, she recognized him from somewhere. Mm. Let me see if this says. Hey, want some free shit to listen to? Go check out Movies Are Us, where Justin, Jeremy, and I, Desmond, are discussing movies based on all the wonderful play that exists in the world. Toys, video games, board games. If you could purchase it at the beautiful brick and mortar Toys R Us and they have turned it into a movie, we're going to talk about it. Find Movies R Us wherever you listen to fine, free podcasts. Thank you, loyal patrons.
Wikipedia goes all this stuff about the theme of desire and like she wants to be synced up with him sexually. And like, I don't feel there's a lot of sex in this movie. Maybe the guy in the ambulance was her original father. I bet it's something that ties in her biological dad. Anyway, she's in the ambulance and like the EMT is having a hard time with the guy. And I guess she holds his hand and it helps the guy to live.
Yeah.
And she has this like profound moment. I guess I didn't remember the ending. I thought she was going to like break up with her boyfriend and decide she wants to like become a doctor. I thought it was going to be like a thing, but maybe she did her good deed. So she deserves a good timeline. In the end, Manny ends up.
The patient in the ambulance is the bank guard that was having chest pains.
The sleazy bank guard?
I don't think so. I think the guy she takes. Oh, no, she takes the gun from the skeezy guy, doesn't she? I feel like there's another bank guard that's kind of watching everything happen. And he's just kind of like, you think it's anxiety, you know, because he's getting robbed. But I think so in all three timelines, he has chest pains regardless of what Lola does.
Right.
But we get to see his face just once.
But yeah, it's an important moment. She like, instead of rushing around, she takes her time. She decides to stay with him. It seems like there's extra time in this third timeline for some reason, because she's at the casino. It takes a while.
Yeah.
The dad didn't take up that much time.
Totally.
I don't know if this all matches up in real time. Like, I think the robbing the bank would have taken the longest. Anyway, she gets to...
Well, especially the fucking elevator scene. Like, just...
Yeah.
The way the teller just casually walks over to the elevator.
Oh, yeah. And leaves her and doesn't report
it's
her.
In the elevator. Yeah. Like, once an elevator's involved, that's 6 minutes.
Yeah.
Like, sorry. That would have been an easy way to make that, to make me go like, okay, I think we're still in the same timeline.
And so Manny finds the homeless guy when the woman points her out and he kind of chases him on the bike. It looks like homeless guy's going to get away. And then finally Manny just like, I'm going to shoot you. And then he's like, okay. And he stops and he gets the money back. And then the homeless guy's like, but what about me? And asks for the gun. And then he's like, sure, I'll give you my gun with bullets in it. Which I was, wow.
That's what I said too. I'm like, unload it. Like, even if you leave the bullets on the ground, you can get away. You can get far enough away before he shoots.
Does it show what happens to the homeless guy after that? Does it have a flash forward after he gets the gun?
No, that's on.
I don't remember. No.
Bike, homeless guy, bike. That's the sequel.
Yeah, got it. Anyway, so then Manny has his money. He meets up with Lola. And like she went through all this and he already got his money back. So he's like, yeah, don't worry about it. We got it. It's okay. So she seems a little bit stunned. That's why I thought she was going to break up with him somehow. But instead, it just ends with him turning to her and being like, what's in your bag? So now, not only is he not going to die, but they're $130,000 richer.
Yeah. Is she going to, is he worth it? Is he going to share the money with him or is he going to, or yeah, is she going to start all over again?
Yeah.
So I would suggest that these two idiots are going to blow it. I'm guessing.
Stay together. They're going to blow it on a vacation.
This is the prequel to Trainspotting.
Yeah. That's about right. Because all Europeans in the 90s were on heroin.
So yeah, it totally is the main security guard guy.
The sleazebag security guy is the one whose hand she holds?
Yeah.
Huh. Is she like forgiving him? That's a weird.
Well, she never really hated him. He's a little, you know.
They play that off weird. Like, he doesn't go too over the top, but she has, he says sleazy things and she always looks at him in a weird way.
Because it could be seen as mystical, like he's gazing at her because he's the wise man who knows everything. But I told Kelly, I was like, they need a scene where Lola looks in his eyes and says, if I lived this timeline a million times, none of them end with me kissing you.
Yeah. Weird.
So, yeah, I'm watching this scene in the second version where he's walking out and smoking. I'm just wondering if, you know, he grabs his chest or something.
Let's see. They say this is comparisons to Polish director Krzysztof Kieslowski's Blind Chance, allusions to Vertigo in terms of their spiral shots and like a picture. Have you ever seen Sliding Doors?
No.
It says it features two timelines.
Yeah, it's on our, I think Brendan put Sliding Doors on our.
Okay.
Not, not time travel, our yeah, our Patreon list. Yeah, the director, what else did he do?
Yeah, so look, here's this review. This is what I was talking about. It's like, Film Threat's Chris Gore said it delivers everything great foreign film should. Action, sex, compelling characters, clever filmmaking. Like, where's this? There's no sex.
Yeah. Is this... I find it hard to believe that this movie was released simultaneously. I feel like this had to have been released in Europe, and then 2 years later, America was like, hey, maybe we do like foreign films when they're short and good.
We were open to it in the era of the independent film, and then we closed off again, unless they win the Oscar.
Well, maybe that's what it was. Maybe because it was like Cannes was just like, bring your movie over here, please, 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 please. And so, yeah, maybe it got into Cannes nice and early. And then, oh, God, that guy. I fucking love that guy. When they have the accident in the third version, when Mr. Myers finally runs into the Tufts, the moped guy who flips over the car and lands on their windshield. Do you notice he's got a Chewbacca belt?
No.
It's so rad. He's got this awesome leather belt with just power. It's not over his shoulder. It's just around his waist. But it is just all fucking pockets. So fucking great. Star Wars, again, I'm telling you, this director didn't do anything. Did he die 6 months after this fucking movie came out?
Yeah, you would have thought he would have gotten some more offers.
Absolutely. He wrote Cloud Atlas. I don't know what hole they dug him out of. I mean, maybe I'm looking at just a bad list, but I feel like there should be way, way more. Let's see, director. Oh, okay. So he definitely did some work with the Wachowskis, because he directed a couple of Sense 8s. Did he direct Cloud? Oh, he's got a directing credit for Cloud Atlas.
Oh, all right. It went big.
Okay, things are...
All right, things are coming into light.
He didn't do much. Like, he must just short films. So like this, he seems like one of those guys. It's just like, I'm gonna make the movies I want to make. It's like, all right, well, enjoy watching them alone. And the Wachowskis. He's in the middle of he's done 40 episodes and it's still going of some show called Babylon Berlin. That must be his little pet project. Colonial commissioner, that's not right. Colonial commissioner moves to Berlin, the epicenter of political and social changes in the golden 20s. There is something I don't want to watch. So
good film. I mean, I liked it. It's you used to sound like you're more impressed now than you were then. And I'm a little bit less maybe now than then, but I like films. Oh, how a different second can make a universe of differences, and also the butterfly effect.
Well, when you're having a circle jerk with a bunch of other film school students, it makes things way better than they actually
are. Yeah, that's all we did with circle jerks. Yeah.
just put on Run Lola Run and have a circle jerk.
Yeah.
I know what you guys go to Mighty. Oh, and then you go to Mighty Taco.
Anchor Bar for Buffalo Wings.
Fuck that. Mighty Taco, Mighty Taco.
New York has less taco options.
Buffalo, baby. I worked at Mighty Taco. I got paychecks from Mighty Taco. I'm all about that shit.
All right, fine.
I lied. I'm not eligible to ever work at a Mighty Taco again because I was incapable of giving them a 2 weeks notice.
Oh, man. Well, your career will have to suffer.
You know what I learned during that job? I have so much respect for people who work drive-thrus.
Yeah.
Like, I am so polite to people who work drive-thrus because that, fuck that. I'm trying to ask the question. I mean, I know this isn't Time Pop, so we don't necessarily have to ask the question. Like, I guess if I'm stuck in this situation, I probably go to the casino sooner. I probably don't run to Dad every time. Like, I know technically she doesn't have full, whatever she remembers from previous timelines, she doesn't have full recollection. You know, she's getting bits and pieces.
Yeah.
Because if she could fully remember what happened, there's no way she goes to Dad all three times. But yeah, This is definitely one of those movies. I don't know that I ever want to watch it again.
Oh.
If I watch this movie more, if I start dissecting this movie even more, I think it gets worse, not better.
There is an issue you could argue that if you were to look at the hour and 20 minutes of this film, maybe 30 minutes of that is spent just watching her run to music.
Yes.
And that feels like a music video, which in the 90s, I mean, I like the music. It sounds like Underworld to me. Apparently that's her voice talking on the like soundtrack.
Yeah.
Which I saw at the end. She's like just talking over music. But like, it's really just a lot of her running to music. And that's like, the content of this is pretty minimal. It's like 30, 40 minutes of content. But I still, again, I applaud films that go for this. I want more. We get lots of time travel. We don't get much butterfly effect.
Yeah, I think this is an amazing movie. I just don't want to pull at this any of these threads too hard.
Yeah, agreed.
I think this is done really well. It's a lot of fun. I think we need more copycats. Like, I definitely want to see Run, Carl, Run and all the just, you could have so much fun with this. I'm going to start making TikToks. I'm going to see if I can make 60-second Run, Desmond, Run videos. Just 20 seconds at a time. I can do it. What time is it, Scott?
Oh man, this is a toughie. I mean, it's, to me, it's rewatchable. It's conceptual, not like, you know, a lot of good meat. it'd be easy for me. If I saw my past scores, that would be so much more helpful.
Yeah, that's the whole point, Scott. I'm not helping you. I'm not looking at the scores. I'm not cheating.
Okay. Maybe 720.
720.
I mean, they're trying to really tackle some interesting concepts. Maybe she deserves more. Maybe 750.
I mean, I definitely, you know what? If I'm not going to look at the scores, I need to go first more often. So you can always yell, because I definitely like it's hard. Because like, I want to go like 820, 830.
Oh, yeah. See?
Like,
you're always nicer than I am.
It's just.
All right. I'll do 810.
It's. Yeah. I think this is a fuck. I almost want to go higher, but. They didn't, like, it's so funny because I should go higher because it's shorter, but I would go higher if they spent the extra 15 minutes fleshing out a few of these ideas. That would get me higher, because there's a lot of really neat stuff here. But apparently they wasted it all on sex talk and love. And love definitely has something to do here. But like, you were reading on Wikipedia that, you know, apparently this movie was all about sex.
Apparently.
But I missed I missed the notes.
I always miss it.
I miss the sex.
Yeah.
I do just want to look at one more thing here. Okay. Maybe I'll look at this and mention it on it. I think there's definitely something's going on with Paradise Lost. Like the director or writer must have got some inspiration from that, and maybe that's where all the sex comes in. Thank you so much, Patreons. Again, you guys are amazing. Thanks for listening to this. Pass along to some friends that we got good stuff. Just remember, it's $3 for the whole library. I know you wonderful patrons out there have been, you know, pumping out $3 a month to keep on top of all these great episodes. But tell your friends, $3 gets you the whole library. Boom! 10 episodes, $3, one stop.
Worth it.
Do it.
Or just go to a casino, take a dollar, put it on 20, and maybe you'll have plenty of money.
$3. you can Venmo me your casino winnings. If I'm not complaining that much about a Generation 1 iPad, imagine what a time machine a Generation 9 iPad would be.
Mixed and edited by Desmond McNeese for We Mixed It, LLC. Go to whatsoundsawesome.com.